Hey folks, you're listening to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, episode 80, and this is with Chief Andy Starnes, part two of his faith, family, and career discussion. You don't want to miss this.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I'm excited that the Get Balanced Podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about that. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit firstnet.com. Hey folks, we are going to continue with speaking with Chief Andy Starnes, and we are jumping right into the section now about father-daughter relationships. Right back into with talking with your daughter, Emma. As the listeners didn't see, but I could see on video here, is that she came into your home office?
Yes, sir. Used to be her bedroom. She got the mother, and I got her bedroom.
Home office. She jumps on your lap, wraps her arms around you, gives you a kiss, cheerful as can be. That bond, mm-hmm. I know it. I have it with three daughters.
Awesome.
I wrote a book, Lead with Balance, about it. My book, four pillars: faith, family, career, and health. And it was about that. Right before I started working with the fire service industry, but it's that bonding that you have with her. What advice do you have for firefighters that, you know, they may not have that bond? And maybe if you could talk a little bit, Andy, about, did you, you know, when you, at the beginning of the podcast, you talked about how you came home and you brought your struggles home and you argued with your wife and you weren't probably very patient with your one-year-old at the time, Emma, and things like that. But how did you develop this? I mean, I could see it. Your face lit up. I mean, you know, love of your life right there in your lap, right? And what advice do you have for dads out there? And sometimes, and if you could speak of, even divorced dads that don't get to see their children as often, not, you know.
Yeah, that's hard.
Advice do you have about how to help, you know, pull those kids into you and create that special bond? Because as we know, that father-daughter, it is such a special bond.
Well, a friend of mine who has a ministry, it's really more of a fire department thing, but I call it a ministry because he calls it Fit to Fight Fire. John Spira has some really inspirational stuff he puts out. And one of the things he has is a picture of a little kid looking up at a firefighter and says, be the firefighter they want you to be or think you are, right? Hmm. So whether you're a single dad, whether you're, you know, married and have lots of kids, or you're like us, we have one child and that's our miracle baby, that's yours for a time, for a very small portion of time. And when you get a little bit older, you can either realize it too late that time has been lost, where you can do like I've done all of a sudden and said, man, time is flying. I held her in my arm not that long ago. She was 20 inches long. She fit between my wrist and here. And my wife was had every risk factor, and Emma was born perfectly healthy. My wife was 40 years old when Emma was born. And I realized, here's this perfectly healthy baby. My wife went through all this, and I don't deserve this. I've got friends who couldn't have kids. I've got friends who've lost kids. And I'm like, why am I getting this opportunity? Well, maybe I need to appreciate it. Maybe I need to realize it is a gift, and I only get to hold it for a little while.
Yeah.
If you watch that movie Courageous, when he loses his daughter when she was 7, the pastor says, you have a choice to make. Be thankful for the 7 years you had, or be miserable for the rest of your life that you have without her. And I have to realize that no matter what time I have with Emma, as my mentor told me, he said, from 0 to 12, you're the hero. From 12 to 20, you're the enemy. Get ready for 12 to 20. But don't worry, they come back. I want to be there for her. And I can't be there for her if everything I have, whether it's this stuff here, or the pursuit of knowledge, pursuit of success, whatever it is, if that puts her second and she sees that. Kids are smart. They figure it out. They don't have to have a PhD to realize that daddy thinks the fire department's more important than me. Daddy thinks his thermal imaging pursuit's more important than me. When you're with your kids, be with your kids. And the hardest thing, honestly, is this little device right here.
Yeah.
This is an amoral device.
The phone?
It could be evil. And what you don't realize is that it owns you. You don't own it. And how you can fix that, and which I'm working on right now with my wife, is putting it down and out of my line of sight.
Yeah.
Because if it goes off, it's like that cartoon my daughter had. It bleeps and goes, hey, I figured out how that phone works. It makes a noise. You run to it and it tells you what to do. No, I need to be involved. There's a devotional I keep in my Bible. It says, where's your dad today? It says, he's just home. And it talks about a dad just sitting in a recliner with this vegetative look on his face, not active, not engaged, not involved. He's just there. He's present, but he's not involved and engaged in his family's life.
Yeah.
Be the dad that you were called to be. Be the mom you were called to be. Because only you out of 7 billion people were chosen for that kid. And that's a pretty high honor. And that's a lower chance of being that person than is winning the lottery,
mm-hmm.
becoming a firefighter, all these different things that are hard to do. You are their parent. And parenting is not for cowards, especially for single parents that are having to do both jobs alone. But when they do have that opportunity, they need to realize that this window is very, very narrow, and it only lasts for a little while. And I'm seeing that in my own life. It feels like I'm trying to hold on to time and it's just going right through my fingers. You're talking about racing to retirement. I have 3 years and 14 days until I can retire. And everybody always says they count them down. I count them down for a different reason. I need to realize in 3 years and 14 days I have left, I should enjoy every single one of them, good or bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get to do that again, probably.
Yeah. You know?
So, what about the 18 years you have with your kid? Or as my buddy said, you really got 12 because they quit listening to you at 12. You know.
All right, I'm going to challenge you on that, Andy, and I want to challenge your listeners. I'm going to challenge you on that. I know what you're talking about, though. And I know what he was talking about.
You got three times your mouth.
I know what it is, but I'll tell you. My two youngest daughters, they're 16 and 17, just about 18, right? Almost 17 and 18, really. They're juniors and seniors. But I'll tell you, it just seems to be getting better. And I involve myself with them. You know, and they have very busy schedules and everything with school, cheerleading, soccer, speech and debate. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But it's like one of those things to where it's like, like you say, get involved. I'm there. I'm supportive. I have those great little conversations. I have those coffee dates, you know, take them out to dinner. You know, we have family dinners, you know.
Yeah.
Which is hard. I mean, you know, try to get a couple in each week to where we're actually all you know, right now all four at the table, which is challenging. But I'll tell you, it can get better. So I don't want you to think that it's a lost cause once they hit that team year.
It's a lost cause, but yeah. I do think that what you have is a lot more of a gift and a blessing and a rarity than you realize. I talk to more firefighters that have the opposite because of they didn't invest like what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you invest in a particular market, you expect a return. And what really hurts is the families that invested hard, just like you're supposed to, and their kids still took a left turn.
Yeah.
You know, because that I know some good, amazing parents who are going through hell on earth with their children right now.
Yeah.
They did everything that you would think would be right, and they're having to put their kid in a group home. They're having to do all these terrible things that nobody should have to do, and they are still loving that child. So when I said earlier, people are praying for the problems you have. Mm-hmm. You remember that those three girls you have, that's a huge blessing because not everybody gets to have that moment where they're all 16, 17, still hanging around listening to dad. Now, I've got a buddy I work with. He's got three. He's got just like you. He's got two girls and one son, and he has the exact same relationship you have, and they're all teenagers.
Yeah.
But he is a dad like you. From the very beginning, he has been, as my friend Wallace Martin said, I never chased a dollar, but I chased a difference. If my son was a Boy Scout, I was a Boy Scout. If he was into this, I was into that. And every picture you see, he's there. And
yeah.
He made sacrifices to be there. And I think that's the difference is, are we present enough in their lives that when they look back, they're going to forget the Nintendo or the Xbox. They're not going to forget when you were there. When their first boyfriend broke up with them.
Right.
I'm not going to forget
them. Right.
And they really aren't. And those are gifts of your physical presence, not a presence in a box. That's the most valuable thing you and I have as dads is giving our spouse and our children our full, undivided, present attention. And that is the most difficult thing in this world because this world wants to own your attention more than anything.
Yes, it does. And like you said, putting that phone down when you're in front of them, mm-hmm. yeah, managing that better is something I think we all can do better. And it definitely helps in mm-hmm. bringing that attention to where someone feels that you're listening to their communication and you're watching them and you're not distracted. Andy, I know I put out a post on my Work Life Wednesday tip of the week and you, shot a video of yourself mm-hmm. talking about it, but I wanted to ask you specifically if you would share with the listeners what are some of those things that you need to do now that you might not be able to do in the near future? Do you have anything on that list that you really want to be able to cover, whether it's with family or anything in your life that you need to do now that because that window of time may be closing on you?
My daughter will be 11 in November. One of the things that we decided on as of last year was my wife went ahead and retired and she works with me, not for me. She said, I'm tired of having bosses. You can't be my boss, but I'll work with you. She runs the house. She does homeschooling for Emma. Emma's now homeschooled, obviously, and she manages the bills. She is basically the CEO of our household.
Mm-hmm.
So she's quite busy. So having two full-time jobs that I have to rely extremely on her. We work as a team. We have calendar meetings. We talk about what's going on. And the thing that I have to realize is that Emma, as she transitions into those teenage years, is going to go through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And what we thought about really hard before we did this was I can be gone and working and doing all these things. And Sarah's going to fight these battles alone. And this is going to do this to us, right? Pull us apart.
Yeah.
Or we can fight this together and work together. And we bought a 22-foot transit van to travel in. And yeah. Right when Corona hit. It's in the driveway. I call it the artery that's hemorrhaging in the driveway. It's hemorrhaging money, right? Yeah. It's just not doing anything. But we bought that to travel together. and it's hermetically sealed in the back, keeps the cancer stuff away from them, from the firefighting stuff. It's got plenty of room for them to put everything they want in it. And we're going to, and we've already started, do this journey, as you called it, together. Now, I'm going to have to work during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I come back to the hotel or whatever. Guess who I'm going to see?
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting that. You know, I mean, you got to think, last year I was in 21 states. So yeah. That's a lot of time adding that plus my full-time job to be away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was thinking about my dad. I was thinking about lots of other families that have been through divorces. And they did everything right. They worked hard. But that work had a cost. And I don't want it to be the cost of losing them. And yeah. The other part of it, Doc, is that I'm going to retire early. I'm supposed to retire at 50. I will take a 6% financial cut to retire at 48 years of age. But the reason I'm going to do it is because Emma will be 14. I will have 25 years and 10 months on the fire department. And I will have a few years at home with her between the time she goes to college with my wife, investing in both of them as we transition to empty nesters or whatever happens, instead of working 30 years and then all of a sudden coming home and she's in college and we're trying to figure out this whole transition together. Everybody I know that's been firefighters, the thing I've seen that messed them up a lot is they went wide open for 25 or 30 years and they came to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to figure out who they are, how things work at home. Your wife's had a system for 30 years and now you're in their way. I talk to more retiree couples. The wife says, find something for him to do. He's driving me crazy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So me, the blessing of being involved in the behavioral health side of things is seeing all that and going, you know what? I transferred to the airport a year and a half ago. I've spent 21 years running away from the airport. My wife said, you can be busy at home or you can be busy at work, but not both. I can't take both.
Yeah.
So can I have some say-so in your station assignment? So I went to the airport where I sleep at night. Mm-hmm. I stay busy during the day, but I come home most of the time well-rested, which is a big difference for me because I spent the first 20 years busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy here. I got to have something left over to give them. And guys that I know that have done busy stations and had full-time, part-time jobs, they're having fights at home because they ain't got any, they don't have any patience left. They're shortchanged on sleep. Sleep deprivation is the biggest cause of most of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
From like why I take a testosterone shot is because of 20 years of shift work. I found out I had that problem. I have sleep apnea. I got that fixed. I wear the famous elephant man machine now. All these different things you got to do because of our job. You want to find that out too late? No. Invest in your family, invest in yourselves, and realize, hey, she's playing on the playground right now. Pretty soon, she's going to be in a car going to visit her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I told her I'm starting a website called overprotecteddads.com. I've got a black vehicle with tinted windows, and I'm going to follow around with all my infrared technology and drones and put two laser sights on whoever I don't like. And I don't even own a gun. So there's my window. I've got it planned out if the good Lord allowed it. You know, he says, man plans, God laughs. We'll see what happens. But we want to do this journey together. And I want to see what interests develop for her and what opportunities present themselves, what doors are open, what doors are closed, and where we get to go. And I'm not going to put stipulations on it. I just know that I need to be there. And I can't do that if I work 30, 35 years.
Right.
Gone, married, and got her own life at that point.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Hey, my son is in at the local community college here in Dayton, Sinclair Community College, taking Fire One classes. He's in his first semester. He's a combat veteran of the 82nd Airborne in the Army. He was spent 9 months in Afghanistan, came back a year ago. Spent a little time trying to figure out what he wanted to do and things like that. And came to me and said, I need some advice. And I said, you know what? Based upon what I know about you and your interest, you know, you're physically fit, you love the fitness part, you love the military camaraderie, you like to have goals, you like to chase after something, you like the intensity of some hard work. I go, why don't you be a firefighter and really check into it, you know? And a few weeks later, he enrolled in the school and has been loving it ever since. You know, he goes Tuesdays and Thursdays. And hopefully this coming spring, he'll finish fire two and be ready to start a career. And for young guys like him, and his name's Donnie as well, but people starting that career, and I think you really talked about it during the whole podcast, but any words of wisdom to help them keep their eye on the true prize? What would you say is that true prize? Because, you know, so many times it's just bust through and get to retirement. But as we know, that's not it. But any advice for the young in the fire service today and the ones that are looking to go in?
If he's young and unattached and he doesn't have a significant other in his life, I would tell him to go to school, and I would tell him to get as much training and education and as many certifications as he can get, and balance that out with some healthy free time away from the fire department. So, because it didn't make the fire department his whole life, have other hobbies that he develops now, whether it's physical fitness or other things, because you don't want your career to consume you. And when you retire, you're fire chief of the lawnmower and you can't handle it. You got to have other interests, because it's not, you know, we work so we can live. You shouldn't live to work. The very definition of male is, in Hebrew, is to do or to work or to give or that kind of thing. And so we're wired that way. But the thing is, that doesn't mean you have to do the same thing your whole life. He's obviously a servant-minded guy. So keep him active, keep him engaged, and keep him in good relationships when he's in that, and look for good firehouses that have good guys that are constantly training and doing stuff. Watch out for the guys that are spending more time partying and doing other things that are unhealthy, that lead us into trouble.
Yeah.
I'm not saying having a good time is not a bad thing, but if they spend more time doing that stuff instead of, bye, sweetie, my wife's leaving. Instead of focusing on what's important, that'll lead them down a dark road, because the majority of firefighters struggle with alcoholism and marital issues and PTSD. And that starts early. It's a cumulative thing. You gradually start absorbing those problems at an early age.
Yeah.
But health is a big thing. Staying in shape, getting adequate sleep. If he can work one job, not two. The greatest advice I wish I would have paid attention to was live off your fire department income only. And that's very difficult to do. A lot of places don't pay very well. So if he can set himself up where he's only living off his fire department income, and then when he starts getting comfortable with that, start putting that money away. A lot of departments offer something called an HSA, health savings account. Bankroll that money until he gets married. And when he gets married, he has all these different things, because fire departments typically allow pensions and good things. But it doesn't do any good if you never make it to that pension, right? So do those things, those early investments. And then when he decides to have a family, his certifications are done. He spent his years being busy. He can move into not a slow station, but more what I call a family environment. I was blessed to spend 7 years at a station that ran 7 to 10 calls a day. It was busy, but it wasn't as busy as some places that would have just tore me apart. So you have to find a healthy balance, like you talk about, of career and family, where I enjoyed that station a lot. They had good guys, good family-oriented guys. They all had the same values. We held each other accountable. We trained, we worked out. They were happy if they ran 2 calls or 20 calls.
Yeah.
That was an amazing 7 years for me. I hope and pray everybody can have that experience, but I will caution him on this. I talk to more firefighters who come in with passion and vigor and dedication, and they get around that negative, bitter, cynical person, and they poison that young firefighter. Because what they do is they sit here with this cup, and this is a cup of bitterness or poison. And I drink it, and I look at you, and I say, I hope you die. But I'm not killing you. I'm killing me every day. And that bitter, cynical firefighter is not bitter and cynical because of one thing. It's years and years of stuff.
Yeah.
If you're around that person and that person is not willing to change, that's a toxic relationship. You need to get away from it. Because you got to realize our job, doctor, he's going to spend 24 hours with somebody indoctrinating him.
Yeah.
And if you have the right group, that's awesome. He gets the wrong group, he's going to have all kind of problems. Because the fire service doesn't do a good job of fixing behaviors. I can tell you that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have another ministry. We stink at helping ourselves and managing our own behaviors. We're great at taking care of everybody else. We're terrible at taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
So if he can get around that accountability we talked about in the beginning, mm-hmm. find good firefighters, even if they're not in his department, good role models to talk to when he struggles, and go to good conferences and try to stay away from certain things. Always, when I take my guys to conferences and training, I say, you see that street right there? All those bars and all that stuff on. I said, I've been down that street and it doesn't lead to anything productive.
Yeah.
Every one of you are married, including me. And you go down that street with no bad intention and end up divorced, I will fire you. I said, because our organization is based on living out a set of values, and I didn't bring you here to cheat on your wife.
Yeah.
And so he needs to be around people that will hold him in that account. And if he strays, can pull him back. There are good, awesome firefighters out there that will do that. But like I said in the beginning about judging a belief system that by the few that abuse it, there are a handful that will lead him down the wrong road, down to divorce, down to alcoholism, down to all kind of bad coping mechanisms. Stay away from that group. It's in every organization, not the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
Use good discernment on who he hangs out with. There's a great book called Lead Like Jesus, and it says if you want to know who you should hang out with, you can do a size up with somebody in 5 minutes. Are they a driven person or a called person? If you figure that out, that's how you determine who you hang out with. A driven person is somebody who's driven by greed, power. They don't do succession planning. They intimidate. They do not train other people. They're all about their position, and they push people away, and they always have all the answers, and no one else is right. You stay away from that person. A called person is all about succession planning, mentoring, my ceiling's your floor, everything I can do to make you better. It's about the mission, the message, not the messenger. He finds that group, that's the one he hangs out with. That's your 60-second size up with somebody. This is somebody I talk to about the weather with. This is someone who weathers all the extremities in life with.
Yeah.
And that's Phil Hodges and the guy who wrote The 1 Minute Manager and Who Moved My Cheese. So a lot smarter people than me. And I found a lot of wisdom in that.
Because that's great.
You know who to hang out with. And I'm telling you, the fire service is full of amazing people. And I think you'll have a wonderful career. Just make sure who he knows who's holding the line with him. That's
yeah.
The only thing I can tell him.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. Yes. Hey, as we wrap up here, Andy, is there anything that I did not ask you that you wished I would have, or that you would have liked to have spent more time on? I want to just sort of give you an open-ended moment.
No, I think you have an amazing opportunity to help people. And I think what the fire service and police and EMS is missing right now is the biggest problems we face are not the calls. It's inside the four walls of the fire station, the police station, or inside the ambulance than you're spending with that shift with that person. And you have a lot of time with those people. And you have a lot of interactions where you can help them. And I think someone said it best, we need to be street psychologists. And you need to learn how to care for other members. And if I could change anything about the fire service, I wouldn't change the traditions and the dedications to training, pursuing knowledge and being better. I would change that they require us to have a better understanding of human beings and yeah. how to care for each other, like you said, self-care, than I would anything. And it would lead to longer careers. The divorce rate is as high as 74% in some states for firefighters and police, highest in the world next to the military. Suicide wow. rate second only to the military. And we have more behavioral health problems that we cause as a fire service because we expose all our members to these problems, and we basically tell them to deal with it. We give them EAP, and think they're going to get better in six sessions. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like having a sponsor in AA. Every year, I got to have somebody to talk to. I have to wring out this sponge that builds up with seeing dead children, decapitated people, abusive households, pit bulls killing kids. All this stuff that goes in your head does not need to stay there. And the only way you get that out and deal with that is having good people to talk to and being able to open up your feelings instead of open up a pill bottle or an alcohol bottle and drown in your troubles with it. That's a band-aid on a bullet hole. And it's going to bleed through and you're going to go back for more, whether it's pornography, whether it's drugs, whether it's the arms of another woman or another person. You are looking for a way to kill the pain. And if I could change anything or ask you to do anything, I would wish that we could empower more police, fire, and EMS to care for them. Because I'll challenge you with this. You will see more behavioral health issues in the next 3 to 5 years due to the stuff that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of corona and because of the fact that the world no longer respects nor cares for the people who risk their lives to protect them. And that's a dangerous place to be. And when you can't get in your car and go to work and think, I'm there to help them and they're going to try to kill me.
Right.
What kind of stress are those individuals under? My prayers every day are for our military, police, fire, and EMS and our leaders. Because the world has lost its mind and has decided, as Malcolm Muggeridge says, the 21st century man has decided to abolish himself. We have done that.
Yeah.
We are tearing ourselves apart. And the best way we can stop that is good people like you empowering others to live out their faith and their values and care for one another, not kill each other.
Yeah.
Build each other up, not burn buildings down, and lift each other up. And when they show that care, show a police or fire or EMS officer, somebody doing something good on the news instead of something evil. And quit focusing on the negative. Rick Lasky says it best. Anybody can catch somebody doing something wrong. Yeah. Catch them doing something right. And I think if you can do that and give firefighters and all these guys ways to better care for themselves, the dividends, as I told you before on Twitter, that you will receive, one day you'll stand in heaven and look around and he'll show you all the people you got to help. That's your paycheck. That's what.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Chief Andy Starnes, as my special guest. And I'll tell you, I really appreciate your wisdom. This was incredible. And I appreciate you sharing your stories, being vulnerable, sharing a little bit about you and all of that. And as a close, Andy, to close this podcast out, I would like to, I invite you, don't need to, but it's just an invitation. If you'd like to say a final blessing to the listeners and our first responders out there in the world.
Sure. If you don't mind, I'll do that.
I'd love to. Go ahead.
Our heads. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for what you've done for us, what you're going to do for us. I thank you for Brother Donnie and his ministry and how he's helping people. A lot of people say these are careers. In my opinion, these are callings that you put on our heart. If you take your passion, it leads to your purpose, and you put that passion in his heart. I ask that you would inspire others to hear this today to be passionate and be compassionate, which means to suffer with people, not cause people to suffer. I ask you to reach out and touch them and think of ways they can help other people. They can help their organization. They can make a difference in this world instead of tearing this world apart. We live in the greatest country in the world, and we have the greatest opportunities before us, and we're acting like a whole different group of people right now because there's a lot of people hurting. And the best way we can help hurting people is through compassion and love and not hatred and anger and all the stuff that we see right now. Help people like Dr. Donnie, help the fire, police, EMS, and the good people of this world that want to help. Give them the tools, the power, the compassion, the love, and most of all, the endurance to basically hold the line, to endure to the end so they shall be saved by saving others. We ask these things not because we're worthy, not because we've done anything that allows us to be heard, but because Jesus held the line. He carried that burden, And he didn't give up when everyone persecuted him and did everything to him. He knew the cost, and yet he stayed there until the end and came back and said, I have got victory over the grave. And because I live, you shall live also. Your name we pray.
Amen. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.